Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, December 13th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. So we're all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me as we finish up what has been a very good week here on the program. Two segments left to go for this week. The first, my Westgate Super Contest selection segment for week 15. Amazing to think that it's already week 15 here in the NFL season. The mini contest starts this week in the Super Contest, so something for everybody to shoot for. So I'll give you my thoughts, my picks, my leans here for week 15 in the Super Contest, as well as along the way, some of my thoughts on the Circus Sports Million for week 15. Second part of today's show, Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, will join me for this week's version of the odds report. Sharp Money starting to move some of those bowl game lines around. Also some thoughts on the Army-Navy game. Then we'll take a deep dive into the Week 15 NFL sharp action that we're seeing out there in the marketplace. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Rolling out those bowl game previews for you. A lot of good stuff there with those. Also, daily NHL, NBA, college basketball stuff. Plenty of weekly NFL content. Huge UFC card this weekend. UFC 245 with three championship matchups. Got a preview up for that event over at the website as well. Make sure you head on over to our Bang the Book YouTube page. Check out some of our free pick videos. None for me this week. I've been dealing with some other stuff during the afternoons, but we'll get back to those next week, taking a look at some of the bowl matchups. But Brian Blessing with some NFL free pick videos for us over there for this week. Finally, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook, BTB and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook, 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. All right, like I said, it is week 15 here in the Super Contest. Give you my thoughts, my picks, my leans for this week. You're only 15 picks left to go in the Super Contest. A 2-2-1 week last week for me, so right down the middle. Now 34-34-2 for the season. So, again, hovering right there around the 500 mark. Our other entry, our bangthebook.com entry, going 4-1, now 35-33-2 on the season. Picked up a two-game swing in that dinner bet as well. We were opposite in both contests on the Titans and Raiders game. Close game midway through the third quarter, but Tennessee pulls away, gets the two-game swing for the .com and the bangthebook.com dash one entry. So now our dinner bet sitting there at 6-4. With 3 weeks left to play. Strong week in week 14 for the Super Contest, 56.63%, now 49.54% for the season. Consensus came in last week at 9-5-2. Top five consensus comes in at 4-1. So a very big week for the Super Contest field. I believe that was the third highest win rate of the season in the Super Contest. So good time for that for a lot of people out there that are trying to get into the money. Tuco and Crisper tied for the lead right now with 48 points. After last week, the consensus sitting at 91-107-6. Top five consensus, though, 36-32-2. Been a pretty good NFL season for public bettors. As we talked about on Thursday's edition of Bang the Book Radio, pretty good college football season for public bettors as well. So very interesting to see that, especially with so many states, now getting on board with sports betting. Over in the Super Contest, gold, 53.05% last week, 50.51% for the season. Consensus comes in at 9-4-2. Top five consensus going 3-2 in last week's action there in the gold. Consensus now 98-92-4. The top five, including some ties for fourth and fifth most selected sides of the week, 36-35-3. And as I mentioned here, the mini contest starts this week. 3 week sprint, 15,000 on the line, likely to be split multiple ways there with that. So we'll see how many people wind up going 14-1 or 13-2-1, whatever it winds up taking here to take down that prize in the mini contest. Could be 15-0. Who knows? With a very big field, a record field over in the Super Contest. Finally, right now, and this is always interesting, you know, because it's 1500 to get into the Super Contest. It's 5000 to get into the Super Contest gold. Traditional Super Contest pays the top 100 plus ties. The Super Contest gold is winner take all, unless, of course, you've got two people that tie for the win or multiple people. They would wind up splitting the prize pool there. But what's really interesting here is that the cutoff for the money, the top 100 spots in the traditional super contest, is 42 points. If you had 42 points in the super contest gold, you'd be in second place. So again, that's kind of the difference here, is that, you know, top 100 plus ties gets paid in the traditional winner take all in the gold. But more often than not, you're going to have a much higher winning score in the traditional than you will in the gold. So some food for thought for people that do want to hop into these contests here for next season. You know, if you're trying to decide between the traditional or maybe going in on a group thing in the gold, again, you're probably going to need a higher win rate, a higher score to even cash in the traditional than you might need to win the super contest gold. Real quickly here, Circa Million, 54.04% last week, 50.38% for the season. My entry, 33-35-2 over in the Circa. The Dash 1 entry, 37-30-3. Only the top 10 paid in that contest to go along with those quarterly prizes. Couple of entries belonging to the same person, 10-0 here in the fourth quarter over there in the Circa. Speaking of the Circa Million, one of the things I like to do each week on this segment here is roll through the line differences between the two contests, because these are always very interesting. Westgate comes out Wednesday early evening. Circa comes out Thursday late morning. And we do get, you know, a lot of line differences here between these two contests. And what was kind of ironic is that last week we only had three of them, largely around numbers of no consequence. But we did have that Browns-Bengals game where it was 8.5 in the Super Contest, 7.5 in the Circa Million. Game, of course, falls on 8. So those that took the Bengals in the Super Contest won. Those that took the Browns in the Circa Million won. So we have seen that play out a few times here over the course of the season. Several line differences here for this week. Recording this on Thursday evening for the Friday show, as you know. But there was a line difference in the Jets-Ravens game. Ravens minus 15 in the Super Contest, minus 16.5 in the Circa. Probably not going to matter. Game's probably not going to fall 16, but still an interesting difference there in that one. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, minus 3 in the Super Contest, minus 3.5 in the Circa. And this one's particularly interesting because you've got a questionable status on Jameis Winston, who's dealing with a thumb injury. The picture may be getting a little bit clearer from Wednesday into Thursday morning. So maybe some more interest in Tampa Bay, maybe just the Circa trying to peg what this closing line is going to be. So we see the Super Contest at minus 3, the Circa Million minus 3.5 on Tampa Bay. We take a look here at the Packers. That's an interesting one. Packers minus 4 in the Super Contest, 4.5 over in the Circa Million. Seahawks minus 6.5 in the Super Contest, minus 6 in the Circa. The Chiefs minus 9 in the Super Contest, 9.5 in the Circa. This one's the one that stands out the most to me, and this is one that we kind of talked about a little bit with Wes Reynolds in terms of, you know, in the Super Contest, they try to sort of predict what the closing line could be and maybe shade towards that with their contest lines. Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers are minus 2.5 in the Super Contest, minus 1.5 in the Circa Million. So from what it looks like here, the expectation from Jay Cornegay and the staff over at the Westgate, that line was going to take some sharp money from the Steelers. Thus far, we haven't seen it. So Circa comes out at 1.5, which was the predominant market number when they put up their contest lines. Super Contest at 2.5, even though the market's never really gotten there. So that was kind of an interesting one to me. Again, we've seen a lot of sharp money against Buffalo here this season because a lot of people just don't really believe in the Bills, in the body of work, in the strength of schedule that they've played so far. So that'll be an interesting one to watch in the betting markets. Not as interesting to watch in these two contests because it is still below the key number of 3, but that did stand out a little bit to me that the Steelers minus 2.5 in the Super Contest, minus 1.5 in the Circa Million. Los Angeles Rams, minus 1 in the Super Contest, minus 1.5 in the Circa Million, as that line just continues to be a runaway train with a lot of Rams money, both sharp and public, coming in against the Cowboys in that one. And then finally, Monday Night Football, the Saints, minus 8 in the Super Contest, minus 8.5 in the Circa Million. So I believe, and I don't know this for sure, but I believe that 8 games here is the most that we've seen with line differences between the two contests over the course of the season. And again, with all 16 games in play now, with no bye weeks or anything like that, half of the games with a different line in the Super Contest than over in the Circa Million. Not a lot of key numbers. The Bucks coming off of 3, Packers coming off of 4, Seahawks around 6 there. Not a lot of key numbers, but still very interesting to say the least with some of these line differences that we have here for this week. Again, I will remind you here, recording this Thursday evening Eastern time. So my opinions can change on these games. Don't have to have my picks out to the proxy until Saturday morning. So some things can very much change here based on injury reports. Some of the things that happened in the line movements, stuff like that. But as of now, a list of very likely picks for you and also a handful of leans for this Week 15 card. So we start with the very likely picks here, and as usual, going by the Super Contest rotation order, beginning with number 8, the Chicago Bears. Now, they are +4 in the Super Contest, +4.5 in the Circa Million. Like that 4.5 in the Circa, a lot more than the 4 for obvious reasons. But, you know, something I mentioned earlier on in the week here, the quarterly splits for the Packers. I want to clarify something here, that when I was looking at that stat over at profootballreference.com, that is average yards gained for the Packers. So it's not yards per play, just average yards gained in terms of what they do per quarter. And as I mentioned earlier on in the week, they're much better in the first quarter than they are in any other quarter. 14 touchdowns in the first quarter on offense, 8 in the second, 8 in the third, 7 in the fourth. So they do start out pretty well, but then kind of fizzle a little bit as the game goes along. So anytime they're laying any sort of number of consequence, something for you to keep in mind here. Look, 10.3 yards per pass attempt in the first quarter for the Packers. 5.6 in the second, 7.0 in the third, 7.3 in the fourth. So again, the Packers do start well, but they can't really sustain that clip over the course of the game. They wind up asking a lot of their defense in that regard. The Bears, very familiar with them. They already have that data point against Matt LaFleur and the Packers. Of course, that was back in Week 1, and the Packers were just a mess at that point in time offensively. But still, the Bears have more familiarity. They can, of course, see what some of their, you know, division rivals did defensively against Green Bay. So I do like that. I do like the familiarity, you know, maybe not as much with LaFleur, but certainly familiarity with that personnel for the Packers. Packers on the season, -0.4 in yards per play. The Bears, -0.3. Yeah, okay, you give Green Bay 3 points for home field advantage. That's fine. Frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, cold, getting to the stretch run of the playoffs. The full 3 is justified. The extra point or 1.5, I don't think that's justified at all. And I understand that the Bears, there is that low perception of them because Mitch Trubisky has really struggled in some spotlight games and things of that sort here so far. But again, I think this line is too high. I don't think that this game necessitates anything more than giving the Packers home field advantage, maybe 3.5, but 4.5 getting to be a little bit too high in this one, given the statistical body of work for both of these teams. The Bears defense playing very well of late. They are 10th in adjusted net yards per pass attempt allowed on defense, despite being 22nd in sacks and 25th in sack percentage. So they are in the top 10 in adjusted net yards per pass attempt allowed. Everybody else in the top 10 has more sack yardage than them. The Ravens are the closest with 33 sacks. Everybody else has 7 or more sacks than the Bears on the season. So what that says to me is that they're playing very good base coverage. Their corners and safeties are covering very well. Their linebackers are doing a good job. Yeah, and the loss of Roquan Smith is a problem, and he was playing very well for them. But still, I think this line is just a little bit too high for one of those division games in December. A lot of familiarity between these two teams. Packers, a little bit of an overachiever as far as their record goes. Give me the Bears here +4. Again, a very likely pick. They will definitely be a pick for me at 4.5 over in the Circa Million. Next up on the board here is number 26, the Atlanta Falcons. They are +10.5 against the San Francisco 49ers. And I've talked about this game multiple times on multiple shows here throughout the week. This is my favorite play of the week. You can score on that 49ers defense right now. They're just not as sharp as they were earlier on in the season. They're coming off of 9 or 10 days away from home. They gave a big effort in that Baltimore game, a huge effort, very physical game. I give them credit. They took care of their affairs in that game against the Saints. Now, of course, that's not the way that they probably wanted to win that game, 48-46, but they got the win. That was what they wanted. Now they go back home. They're back in first place. They've got the Rams and the Seahawks on deck for the division, for home field, for a bye, for a lot of different considerations here over the next 2 weeks. This is a win and get out game for the 49ers. I do not think that they are the least bit concerned about winning this game by margin. And they're going to have to win it by margin if they want to cover a 10.5 point spread. Give Atlanta credit. You know, we thought after the bye week, or we thought going into the bye week, that they would fire Dan Quinn, and they didn't. And then after the bye week, they come out, beat the Saints, play very well for a couple of weeks, did have a flat spot game mixed into the equation there, to then take care of their affairs last week. They're winning the games that they should, and that's important. They're not winning the games that they shouldn't, and they're probably not going to win this game. But I think they can definitely keep this one close because you've got, again, a 49ers defense kind of riding the struggle bus a little bit. And again, San Francisco, like I've talked about before, their bye week came in week 4. They have 2 huge division games on deck. If there's going to be a flat spot for this team, it's this one. You know, last week I liked the matchup for the Saints. I thought the Saints were in a decent spot themselves, but that was a game that the 49ers are going to be up for. I knew that would be a competitive game. I just fell on the Saints side there. I think it's very hard to ask the 49ers to get up for this game, to play an inferior opponent and blow them out the way the line suggests that they should. I think that's a hard thing to do. Dan Quinn, very familiar with Kyle Shanahan from their time together in Atlanta. If the 49ers go in by double digits here, I'll pay to see it. I'll give them full marks. I'll give them their credit. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it here. So give me the Falcons plus 10.5. Number 26 in the Super Guidance rotation order over the San Francisco 49ers. Finally here, one more on the very likely pick side. Number 29, the Minnesota Vikings. They are -2.5 against the Los Angeles Chargers. And I like Minnesota here this week. You know, they're going cross country, but there's no home field advantage for the Chargers. You know, they're playing in a converted soccer stadium. There's no home field advantage for them. They play better on the road. They probably feel a lot more comfortable on the road. Not a bad idea to escape Minnesota when it's very cold outside. Of course, I was there last week and I had a good time, but not a bad idea to get out of there in December. Probably be a lot of Vikings fans making the trip out to LAX here for this one. I'll say this. The Chargers are better than their record. When you look at yards per play differential, these two teams are actually equal on the season. Minnesota has a much better record. The Chargers are better than their record. So that does give me a little bit of reason for concern here. That being said, I still think this line is a little bit light. This should be Vikings -3.5 in my estimation. It's only 2.5. Adam Thielen nearing a return. The Vikings need this game a lot more. You know, the Chargers, it's great to win games. It's great to have these feel-good moments. Obviously, you're still trying to win games unless you're tanking for draft position. But the Vikings have a lot more incentive here. And Kirk Cousins really likes that Stefanski offense that they're running with the new offensive coordinator. He's been playing better against the better teams. The Vikings running game is definitely good enough to slow down that Chargers pass rush a little bit, give Cousins a little bit more time to operate. And also too, you know, both of these teams did have late bye weeks, but I think the Vikings having a late bye helps them here because 2 weeks ago they played in Seattle in that Monday Night Football game. Where I needed that game for a 5-0, and unfortunately, Minnesota didn't come through. But if they had their bye in week 4 or week 5, something like that, and they were going back out west for the second time in 3 weeks, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But because they had a late bye week, I'm not necessarily worried about it here. I think you're getting the better team at a reasonable price with the Chargers maybe a little bit inflated off of that blowout victory. And that game last week said a lot more about the Jaguars than it did about the Chargers. Jacksonville has completely, they've quit on the season. They've unequivocally quit on the season, on Doug Marrone. The Chargers took advantage, and credit to them for that. They've played like a team that's better than their record, but I still think that this weekend's game falls in the purview of the Vikings. They need it more. They're going to want it more. And again, there's no home field advantage for the Chargers, who may feel slighted, to be totally honest with you, when they play at home. So Vikings, number 29 in the Super Contest rotation order, -2.5 on my card here this week, to go along with Falcons +10.5 and Bears +4. We take a look here at some leans for this week here. And again, as you know, got to come up with five plays here for the cards. So my five plays likely to come from those three picks and a couple of these leans here. Number three, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a 3-point favorite against the Detroit Lions. And I told myself I wasn't going to back Jameis Winston. I swore on this show that I wouldn't back Jameis Winston again. So, of course, in true Adam Burke fashion, I'll consider doing it while I'm paying a premium now with the Buccaneers laying a field goal on the road in Detroit. Few things about this game. First, it would be a pick if Jameis Winston was healthy. Jameis Winston dealing with a thumb injury, not gripping a football in practice this week, obviously had a phenomenal game last week against Indianapolis, throwing for well over 450 yards. Now, of course, he did have the interceptions, and you know that's just what Jameis Winston is, but did what he needed to do in order to get his team that victory. If I knew he was going to be good to go, this would be in the picks category. And again, I've got some time to wait on this between the time I submit my picks and the time I record this segment. Mike Evans being out is not great. This is a game where they could have very much used Mike Evans to the point where Mike Evans could have had a monster day. Because the Lions, ever since they traded Quandre Diggs to Seattle, they are 1-6 straight up. They are 31st in passer rating allowed per Bill Barnwell. 31st in passer rating allowed since they traded Quandre Diggs, who, by the way, has been excellent for the Seattle Seahawks here since that transaction happened. The Lions were not thrilled about it at all, and they're playing like a team right now that's not thrilled about it. They've lost 6 straight, 9 of 10. They're a mess. They've given up the most air yards on defense so far this season. Obviously, that's something that helps a guy like Jameis Winston. On the whole, Detroit has 5 interceptions on the season. That's it. 5 interceptions in 13 games. So they don't force a lot of turnovers. They don't force a lot of takeaways. What do we know about Jameis Winston? Well, that's obviously his Achilles heel, is throwing those picks. But the Lions, they're not a ball-hawking defense. They're not a turnover-creating defense. In fact, they give up a lot of yardage in the passing game. Offensively, they're not great if they get into a shootout here in this one with the Buccaneers. And Tampa Bay has the ability to turn every game into a shootout. If Jameis Winston is not able to go, preseason superstar Ryan Griffin would come in. I don't know if I could take Tampa Bay at that point in time. Probably not at the -3. But if I get some positive reports on Jameis on Friday and on into Saturday morning, if you know that's the case, Tampa Bay will be on my card. The Lions have nothing to play for. They're still kind of competitive, but this is a game where the matchup can really hurt them because Tampa Bay can throw the ball vertical better than most of the teams the Lions have played, and they've still had all sorts of defensive concerns and problems. So Tampa Bay -3, and they're -3.5 over in the Circa Million, so I'm less enthused about it there. But -3 here in the Super Contest on my list of leans, and if I find out tomorrow on Friday, today while you're listening to the segment, if I find out that Jameis Winston is going to go, this one will end up making its way onto my card here for week 15. Number 13, the Seattle Seahawks, -6.5. They travel cross country to take on the Carolina Panthers. And this isn't a buy of the Seahawks. This is just a fade of the Carolina Panthers. Now, the Panthers, they've not shown up in weeks. Do we have any reason to believe that they show up here this week? I don't think so. And when you look at this game here, I just talked about the importance of turnovers in that Tampa Bay-Detroit game. Seattle has 29 takeaways. That's third in the NFL. And again, their defense has been creating more of those turnovers since they acquired Quandre Diggs. The Panthers, 26 turnovers. That's the third most in the NFL. So we're probably looking at a spot here where Seattle winds up with a couple of extra possessions. And if that's the case, even though I don't love Seattle, I don't love their offense, I don't love a lot of things about this team, you give any team in the NFL extra possessions, they've got a good chance at making them perfect. Kyle Allen has really regressed. Seattle's defense, while the you know, yards per play metrics and all that aren't great, they force turnovers. They can get some of those short fields. And last week's loss, in ugly fashion, gives the Seahawks more reason to care about this game, because they still have some division games left on the card, and now they've got to go out there and win this game. They can't sleepwalk through this early start going cross-country. So that extra bit of incentive is a good thing for Seattle backers here in this one. Again, 6.5, big number to lay on the road, but it's probably deserved with what we've seen from Carolina here over the last couple of, over the last several weeks, really. So number 13, the Seahawks, -6.5 on my list of leans here for this week. Next up on my list of leans here, number 19, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're -2.5, hosting the Buffalo Bills. I talked about this already. This feels like a spot where the Westgate shaded this line with the expectation of sharp money coming in on Pittsburgh. It's hard to disagree with that. The Steelers feel like the right side. Again, it hasn't come in yet. Would be a little bit of a reverse line movement if it did, because the Bills are the consensus side right now. The Bills are not a team that sharp money likes. You know, they played a weak schedule. They've got maybe some misleading statistics here for the year. I give them credit. You know, they're winning games. They're doing a fine job of doing that. But this Steelers team, I mean, they've really rallied together. You know, and I'm not one for the intangibles, the unquantifiable stuff when you talk about, you know, a league where the margins are as thin as they are in the NFL. But this is a team that really came together through the injuries, the Ben Roethlisberger injury early on, the quarterback switch from Mason Rudolph to Devlin Hodges. They've had a lot of reasons to not be fully engaged, not be fully invested. And there they are with a chance to be the first wild card. And they would put themselves in a good position for that if they're able to beat the Bills this week. Steelers, phenomenal pass rush. Bills look ahead to the Patriots game, and real quietly, I don't know if you've noticed this, the Steelers all of a sudden with the most takeaways in the NFL. The Patriots have started to play some better competition. They've fallen off a little bit in that department. The Steelers now with the most takeaways in the NFL. So what does that mean? Again, could mean extra possessions. Those are very important in the NFL. Could mean shorter fields against a very difficult Bills defense. Regular season home finale for the Steelers. Bills have that look-ahead spot to the Patriots game. Pittsburgh is coming back off the Arizona game, which is a little bit difficult. But again, I think this team just has this common sense of belief. No matter who's at quarterback, no matter what, they've found ways to win games. They've found ways to overcome these injuries. I think they have the opportunity to do that here again this week. So the Steelers, -2.5, number 19 in the Super Grandis rotation order on my short list of leans here for this week. Finally, one more, and this team burned me last week, but do we really expect the Jacksonville Jaguars to show up traveling cross country to take on the Oakland Raiders? Raiders -6.5 here. This would be a straight fade of Jacksonville and a bye on the situation for Oakland, playing the last home game there in the black hole. Obviously, this is already priced into the line. Oakland, it's a very hard sell to say that they're almost a touchdown better than anybody. But I just don't think Jacksonville shows up here. They've quit on Doug Marrone. They've quit on the season. They didn't even get a lift from Gardner Minshew last week. I don't think they show up. So this is one, this would be a fallback option to me based on the injury reports and some of the other stuff that's out there. But the Raiders -6.5. I mean, if they're going to show up for a game, it's got to be this one. And I don't think Jacksonville's going to show up for any game the rest of the way. So that's kind of my thought process there in terms of that. So for week 15 here, looking at my very likely picks as the Chicago Bears +4, Atlanta Falcons +10.5, Minnesota Vikings -2.5, then my short list of leans here, Buccaneers -3, Seahawks -6.5, Steelers -2.5, then the Raiders -6.5. So on Saturday over at bangthebook.com, we'll have our full cards. We'll give you the pick counts and the consensus for week 15 in the Super Contest, as well as the same thing over in the Circa Million with our picks, the pick counts, and the consensus for the first year of that contest here in Week 15. We got one more guest, one more segment left for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is with Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook. Lots of stuff to talk about here in terms of the early moves for the bowl season and also the moves for Week 15 of the NFL season. So here is this week's version of the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined by Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook for this week's version of the odds report. Brent, how's it going today, man?
All good. I spent a nice sunny day in the 30 degree weather at the beach yesterday. It's funny down here. I don't know if we talked about this before. It kind of around this time of year, it's almost like a summer Christmas is what they call it down here, because the weather just kind of clicks right around this time of year and starts to get really nice. And it was a fantastic day off yesterday, so I'm all energized for the show today.
Yeah, it's 30 degrees here too. Just Fahrenheit, not Celsius. All right, man. Well, speaking of weather, Army-Navy coming up this weekend here on Saturday, game 303-304. And you and I talked a little bit about this game before we started recording here that, you know, weather almost always a factor. I mean, 13 straight in this rivalry have gone under the total. Sometimes it's weather-related. Usually it's just related to how these two teams play. But that's been priced into the total here for this year. So kudos to you guys for making the adjustment.
10 years later, we clued into this. Yeah, I mean, it is the kind of like the style of play obviously is an important factor in these games. The total, you know, I think the highest number out there that opened was 44. We opened 43 here, and everyone pretty much consensus out there now is 40.5. So even at, you know, even opening a point lower at 43 is still gone down 2.5 points. You know, the only count wise, the only kind of leaning one way or the other was the money I took under 41, but I did get more money on the under at 41. At 40.5, I am pretty much balanced out right now. Looking at the side again, it hasn't moved as much, either. It did move from 10.5 up to 11. I did get what I'm going to call, pseudo sharp money on the dog Army at plus 11. We're back down to 10.5, and I'm not going to kind of pretend that, 11 is a key number or anything like that, but it did move, right back down to 10.5 after that guy bet it.
Yeah, and this is one, again, the last 5 years, game decided by 7 or fewer points. So, presume that probably winds up happening here in this one, which is why, of course, I like Navy, because, I'm a host, I'm not a bettor, and I've kind of found that out here over the course of 2019. But in any event here, bowl season. We won't have a game until Friday, December 20th, at least not FBS-wise, outside of this Army and Navy game. Buffalo and Charlotte is that first bowl game. We will talk about that one here in a minute because there is some intriguing sharp action on it. But just in general, there were a couple of things you wanted to say about the bowl season. Last week we talked about risk management for it. But what are some of your thoughts here as we get ready for, I guess, what I'd call college football's postseason?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that you say that college football's postseason because I mean, it's just these games are so unique. They're not like any other college football game. They're not like any NFL game. And you say like the college football postseason. For me, it's almost like a season-ending exhibition season. I mean, the games really don't count now. I mean, there is TV revenue involved. There's kind of, pools that they get involved in and stuff like that. But it's not a game that really, really matters to, a lot of these players. I mean, obviously, you want to go out there and do your best. One of the situations, too, you get is teams that are in kind of like lower-end bowls and not necessarily the TV exposure they're used to. So you get a bit of a letdown from the higher-name teams, the more brand-name teams, I guess you will. And you also get these, the lower name teams, if you will, that are kind of might want to play up with the national exposure and stuff like that. So they're really unique. You throw into the factor as well of neutral sites. That's different. Preparation schedules are very, very different. You're talking like 2, 3, 4 week breaks on these things. So it just kind of everything gets, a lot more complicated in terms of how to handicap these games. For me, it's difficult for us to put up the, great numbers, so you see a whole lot more movement. But I think one thing that kind of tips the scales back in our favor is that the handle on these games in terms of a bookmaking side of things is just fantastic. You're talking about these one-off games that are generally on national TV, whether it's ESPN or Fox or the big names like ABC, CBS or what have you. So your handle goes up a lot. But so much of college football is conference focused. I mean, you get all these teams, you know, the SEC, the ACC, what have you. I mean, these are, you know, the Big Ten and all that kind of stuff. These are, you know, it's so conference focused. And again, you throw that all out the window as well. The other thing that kind of comes hand in hand with being conference focused is the statistics involved. A lot of the statistics in these teams have are reflective of the conferences they play in and the style that those conferences play. So you get numbers that you just may not hold up, you know, as kind of like they normally would within the conference. You get that most often. It's just these numbers just don't kind of have the same validity because you're talking about a team that's, you know, been playing against, you know, Georgia all season long, and now all of a sudden they're playing Utah State or something like that. So it's really, you know, the bowl games are really just such a different beast. It's difficult for us to come up with good numbers, and I think they're difficult to handicap as well, but there's definitely value to be found out there.
Well, here's something I'm kind of curious about. You know, like you said, these games are up for a long period of time, and you do get the big handles. But the funny thing about it is that I imagine it's quite a bit like the regular season in the sense that you get the majority of the handle, you know, the day before or the day of the game, even though these are up for, you know, several days, several weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we're not overloaded with action on any one game in particular. Obviously, you know, the game between LSU, Oklahoma, and the Ohio State Clemson game, those, you know, already have more handle than any other game, even though they're so far away. Just people want to jump on them early enough and express their opinion with their money, which is fantastic. But yeah, I mean, you know, generally speaking, unless someone, you know, is quick on the number in terms of getting a number grab and just has a good feel for where things are going, you know, weather, if you can kind of see that far ahead in terms of what weather is going to be like. But even that's obviously, you know, very difficult in these situations as well. So the handle, yeah, I mean, early, you know, at this time, you know, into the bowl season, the handle on a per game basis is not huge. And the day of the game, it just explodes, which is fantastic because, you know, almost everyone in most of these games unloads. I mean, like, you know, on Saturday, for example, the 21st, I mean, you may not get a ton of money on all these games just because they are lower-end games. And, you know, it's just no offense to, you know, North Carolina, AT&T, and Alcorn State or anything like that, but they're just not going to attract as much money. But still, you've got games on the board like, you know, Washington State, BYU, which should be very competitive, both from the, you know, the odds reflect that. And there are a couple of brand-name teams as well.
All right, so we take a look here at some of the sharp action that you've received so far for the bowl games. Then we'll take a look at the national semifinals, and we'll do that every week in the lead up to Ohio State, Clemson, and also Oklahoma and LSU. But we start here with the first bowl game on the board. That is the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl. Not a bad place to go for these two teams. Buffalo and Charlotte here, game 201-202. What have you seen so far, Brent?
Well, you talked about weather earlier on as we walked into this show. I mean, you talk about Buffalo, you know, where they'd rather be at home playing a game right now or in the Bahamas. So, again, you get to, like, the mindset of these teams. Like, you know, are they really going to be focused a whole lot on football? Or are they going to be thinking, wow, this sure beats being at home? Nonetheless, as you can tell by the line movement from Buffalo -5 up to the 6.5 where it is right now, I do have sharp money on this one, and that is with Buffalo. Again, I'm not going to say that the roadside or anything like that, but Buffalo and Charlotte, I've got a wager count about 3-1 favoring Buffalo as well. So the -5 has tracked both sharp money and public money. You know, both these teams as well, I mean, they come into this one at 7-5. I think Charlotte's won, you know, 5 straight off a really bad start. Buffalo as well, I think they started quite poorly and won 5 of 6 at the end. They did beat Central Michigan, so they got that, you know, kind of, if you want to call a big win on their schedule of that one. But you know, both these teams are kind of flying high heading into this one game.
Well, and what's interesting here too, both this game and the other game on Friday, Kent State, Utah State, which is the Frisco Bowl, the MAC is awful in bowl games, and everybody knows it. Both Buffalo and Kent State on that first day of bowl games taking money. Central Michigan taking money the next day against San Diego State. You talked about, you know, trying to come to the right numbers here. Seems like maybe some of the lack of success for the MAC was priced into some of these numbers, and looks like sharp guys are kind of finding a little bit of value here in that conference has been beaten up a little bit in the bowl season.
Yeah, it is very difficult. Like I said, there's just so many variables involved. And again, you touched on another one. Just some conferences, just they kind of, I'm not going to say get exposed in these bowl games, but they just don't do well.
All right, so we go to Saturday here. We go to the Las Vegas Bowl game, 215, 216, the swan song, at least for now, for Washington head coach Chris Peterson. And, of course, he takes on his former team, his first head coaching job, the Boise State Broncos. What's going on with the sharp movement for this game, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the coaching situation there with Washington. That's just like another factor you kind of have to figure into these things. I mean, coaches get, you see sometimes coaches get fired before bowl games, coaches quit before bowl games. The coach here, of course, obviously resigned a couple weeks ago, but is going through the end of the season. Even player stuff too. You talk about players who, there's always distractions about declaring for the draft. Some guys have already, and talking about players as well, you're talking about suspensions. I kind of half-heartedly joke about it, but it's like year after year, you just get guys, it's just kind of like you just almost brace for it. That's, some team is going to have a couple guys suspended, or, half their offensive line is going to be suspended someday, stuff like that. This line has gone up from 3 to 3.5, and it was sharp money that went that way. Washington -3 is where I got sharp money. Boise State actually has the count in their favor, about 2-1. So I'm not going to say this is a massive, sharp in public split that we typically look for, but, despite a wager count of 2-1 favoring Boise State, the sharp money did drive this number from 3 to 3.5. And in Washington as well, they just kind of, I don't know if it was, part of the factor in the coach resigning, but they did kind of limp in the end of the season. I think they closed out like winning two of their last five games, and they did beat Washington State, so that always is worth something. But looking at records and conferences that we talked about, Washington 7-5 in the Pac-12, and you're looking at Boise State at 12-1. It's like, wow. I mean, how's Boise State at 12-1? How are they dogging this game? Well, you look at their schedule and say, who did they beat? I mean, yeah, I think it was like opening week they beat Florida State. Other than that, they lost to BYU, and they've had a relatively easy schedule.
Now, in terms of, the nature of these sharp positions, I mean, is this a true position? Are these numbers grabs this far out in advance of the game? I mean, in your experience with the bowl season, I mean, this isn't your first rodeo. Typically just grabbing a number this far in advance of the game?
No, usually it's true positions these guys are grabbing. I mean, obviously, especially with totals, you see a lot more, fluctuation in the market, but you see more grabs in terms of numbers on totals because they're going to be a lot more volatile. I mean, you look at, just looking on my screen right now, Liberty, for example, that number's moved from 55.5 to 60.5. So it's, a big 5-point move on a total, which is, could be, looked at as a numbers grab. I'm not going to say it is because I don't have information to suggest that, but no, I mean, you can tell. And again, it's about profiling your customers and knowing there are certain guys out there who you have profiled accordingly, who are basically out there grabbing a number, and either in-house or someone else are looking to grab it on their back. What I've had so far in terms of these games this far out is strictly guys just taking a position on the game. They think the number's off.
All right, so we fast forward all the way ahead to New Year's Eve. And again, we're going to talk about whatever games get sharp action over the next 2 weeks here on the segments. And again, like I said, we will be updating the national semifinals on each one of these segments. But we go to game 250, the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl in El Paso, Texas. For those that don't know, there is a little bit of elevation here, so that could be a little bit of an in-game betting factor. But as far as looking at the full game price here with Florida State and Arizona State in game 255, 256, pretty well-defined sharp move here so far.
The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. I'm going to start thinking Tony that you're the making Tiger these names up.
I am not.
Next thing you can tell me that we have a potato bowl.
Oh, there's one of those too.
Yeah, sharp money is involved in this game on Florida State. This number has gone from at 5. It actually ticked up initially for Arizona State, open -4.5. I have a wager count about 3-1 favoring Arizona State. So I'm guessing, just judging by my count and who bet what, looks like it was the public that bet Arizona State right away to move it off the 4.5 up to 5. Once it got to 5, Florida State money came in. I got sharp money up +5. We're down to 3.5 in-house. There's also some 4s out there. So it's moved quite substantially from, a 1.5 from the 5 down to 4 or 3.5. Again, you talk about the nature of these teams, and, Florida State 6-6, Arizona State 7-5. Florida State, obviously, they, tough conference and tough games that they play. Arizona State kind of limped out as well. I think they went 2-4 to end their season. And again, probably, the kind of the bright spot then was beating Arizona. So Arizona State beat Arizona. They also do have the big win over Oregon. So that's kind of, you know, in terms of looking at, you know, the strength of schedule, they do have that big win on their, you know, kind of on their mantle. But still, I do have sharp money on the dog here, Florida State.
All right, one other game on New Year's Eve. It's taking some interest here. And, you know, this will probably be one of the lower bet college football bowl games. But, again, we talk about sharp action and sharp bettors finding value whenever it's out there. Game 259-260 is Georgia State and Wyoming. And we've got a sharp position here in this one.
Yeah, and this number hasn't moved a ton, but it has moved off the, you know, the 7.5. It did get bet initially from 7 to 7.5 on Wyoming. Sharp money came in on Georgia State. Now, this kind of, you know, reflects to one of the angles that I think holds true, you know, for a lot of these bowls. And again, we talked about the, you know, the difficulty of handicapping these games and the matchups and stuff like that. But one of the things, like, year over year that I think, you know, if you look back consistently, is kind of a bit of an edge and kind of like a handicapping angle, is teams that rush the ball very well. Buffalo is a good example of that. As we talked about them getting sharp money against Charlotte, that, you know, -5. And same thing with Georgia State. They're one of the, you know, one of the strong rushing teams out there. And that's kind of like one of the things in terms of the break and preparation and stuff like that. It's one of those things that just, you kind of don't have to fine tune your rushing game. If you've got a good rushing game in terms of linemen and running backs and stuff like that, it kind of, it's probably the most consistent thing that is out there. It's not going to get affected as much by weather and things of that nature. So, you know, rushing teams that run the ball well, I just always seem to have done quite well in terms of the bowl season. Here I got sharp money on Georgia State +7.5. The number's down to 7 right now. I know Georgia State didn't close well. You know, I think they won one of the last four games. Wyoming, same spot. So 2 7-5 teams in this matchup. Kind of, you know, a weird matchup as well. I mean, Wyoming and Georgia State, you're just not going to see that very often.
No, you're definitely not. And that one is the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl in Tucson, by the way, for those who are looking at all these bowl games here. Well, with that,
you're really scraping for that, the extra endorsement money, are you?
Oh, yeah,
you gotta mention those names.
It's like NASCAR, right? You know, you hear those interviews at the end, and they mention every sponsor that's associated with the car in the program.
Yeah, they've got like 12 on their uniform and stuff like that. They gotta point out each one and hold that drink that they actually never sip.
Exactly. All right, so we'll talk here about the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. This is the first semifinal game, Oklahoma and LSU, December 28th for this one. So we are circling back a little bit to take a look here at game 241-242. What's going on with this one so far?
Not a whole lot, as you can tell. I mean, there's not a ton of movement on this one. I mean, the initial, it was like right away. I mean, this one grabbed they grabbed the dog with Clemson. You said Clemson, right? That's what you went with?
No, we
went to the Peach Bowl. Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, sorry. I thought you, 241.
Too many sponsors.
There you go. No, 241. I got to sort my stuff according here. LSU, this one did tick up right away from the initial opening. I got hit kind of like -12, but once we found our way to 13, it's been pretty consistent there. I do have a wager count about 3-1 favoring LSU. That most of that money came below 13. I think this number is probably going to hold, and it's kind of a bold statement this far out. But 13 seems to be working, at least in house. Still kind of trending towards LSU. We're not going to have any fear to go 13.5 on this one. But still, you are talking a bowl game, and you know the with top four teams in the college football this season, and 13.5 just seems kind of like, you know, anything higher than 13.5 just seems like too high of a number. I think maybe, you know, I might touch 13.5 and see if I balance out there. I'm not really going to be guarding against any exposure in terms of the hit. I did take it -12 and say, oh, you know, if the game lands 13, I'm worried about stuff like that. 3-7, yeah, kind of key numbers, but even like anything over 10, I'm just, you know, college football, even or NFL, I'm just not concerned about getting middled on a move like that. So most of my action did come at -12. I'm not too concerned about it landing that way. If I have to go to 13.5, I will. But, you know, 13 seems to be working for me right now. We did touch 13.5 at one point, totally balanced out and kind of drop back down with the market. Total as well, just gone down a little bit. I've got a wager count about 2-1 favoring the under. It opened at 76.5. I'm down to 75.5 right now, so gone down 1 point on that.
All right, the other semifinal here, game 243-244, the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. Clemson and Ohio State, both teams going a long way from home here for this one, but both fan bases should travel well, Ohio State in particular. And this one, at least according to the line, looks like the more competitive of the two semifinals. Clemson a short favorite here in this one.
Yeah, that's one I kind of jumped to off the bat. This one, yeah, I mean, I think the opening number out there, the first number that came up here was Ohio State. I think Ohio State minus one is how this one opened. I know it got bet right away, and like I'm talking like within 15 minutes, Clemson was favored by two. I think they touched 2.5. In-house, I actually did go up to 2.5 and got what I'm going to call some pseudo-sharp money on Ohio State at the plus 2.5. I'm down to two right now, back down to two. I know there's still a 2.5 out on the market, I think. But everyone's pretty much two across the board on this one. So this one moved really quick with the opener. I didn't open with Ohio State as a favorite, but I think that was the very first opening number was Ohio State minus one, and then it flipped to one the other way right away and up to two. Like I said, within an hour, it got to 2.5 and then back down to two where we are right now. So the number has for, the last, I think, like 4 days or whatever, it's held real strong at minus two. Count-wise, I'm still, slightly... I'm going to say almost 3-1 heavy to Clemson in terms of my wager count. So I'm still getting Clemson money even at the minus two. Like I said, I did take some pseudo short money at the plus 2.5. So I'm kind of wary of going back up to the 2.5. But if the market goes that way, I'll go with them. But two seems to be getting, a decent job of balancing the action. It seems to be working out there in terms of the market. So even though I've got a slight count the other way with Clemson, I'm going to hang on to the two right now. If other books start ticking up to 2.5, I'll go that direction as well. But I just, if you ask me, my feeling in terms of which way this was going to go, I think it's probably more likely to tick back down than it is to tick back up.
All right. Well, like I said, we'll update the progress out there in the betting market of both semifinals on each of the next two segments here of the odds report before that game actually kicks off on the 28th. But for now, we transition over to the NFL side of things, the week 15 NFL market. And I can't believe it's already week 15, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, this season, I don't know if it's, I don't even remember if it's always like this, but this is just, we've flown through this. I mean, it's been a really, I just want to say a strange NFL season. I don't know if it's always like that, but just, I mean, the good teams, you can really, really poke holes through them, and the bad teams are just really, really bad.
Yeah, that's for sure. So we've got some interesting sharp action here in the market to talk about. We start with game 307-308, Philadelphia and Washington. And the NFC East is officially the NFC least again this year. It's an awful conference, doesn't even deserve a playoff berth, going to get one by, or awful division, I should say. Going to get a playoff berth by default, but certainly doesn't deserve it. And in fact, it could very well be this Philadelphia team laying 4 or 4.5 against Washington.
Yeah, it's tough when you look at the other teams out there that, someone else, isn't going to make the playoffs because Dallas or Philadelphia or, one of those teams is probably going to make the playoffs instead of them. You kind of like, it's just a tough pill to swallow when you look at these teams. And I mean, I guess Dallas, if they kind of look like the better team. But, man, I mean, neither of them are very convincing, that's for sure. And this game here, I mean, it doesn't bode well for Philadelphia in terms of the sharp line movement. I got sharp money on Washington plus six. You're talking about, the home dog, the Redskins, a team who's only, they're only three games behind Philadelphia, but they've only won three games themselves. They've won two of their past three, so you might want to say, quote, unquote, they're on a bit of a roll. And, of course, Philadelphia is just, I mean, they're just sinking. I mean, even last week they got the win, but, wow, I mean, that was just an ugly, ugly-looking win. I think if you look at their number one wide receiver this week is going to be was it Arcega Whiteside or whatever, the rookie. He's like their quote unquote number one receiver. So they've just been, decimated by injuries. It'd be a real tough spot for them. Like I said, they won ugly last week. I think they beat and these two teams. I think they played week one where Philadelphia won by like 5 points or whatever. But I mean just tough injury situation for the Eagles, and they just haven't looked very good pretty much all season long. Washington, again, they're getting support from again, and it's probably, I think it's like the third straight week I've got, support for Washington here. So Washington plus six where the sharp money came in. My count's pretty much even. I think it's generally just most people, who would like to bet on Philadelphia are just going to stay away because they look so awful. And Washington, well, based on their 3-10 record, they are awful, so no one wants to unload on them either.
All right, so we go to a much better game here. In fact, this should be a pretty high-handled game for a 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff. Houston and Tennessee, game 313-314. Line's been sitting at 3 all week, some sharp involvement on the total. But before we get to that, what's up with the side here? I mean, you guys have been trying to dig in at 3 as much as you can.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of exactly the way it is right now. I mean, I just have a feeling that this number might go below the 3. I think Houston money probably is going to come in. you know, my count in terms of the bets so far is pretty much even. It does slightly favor Tennessee, but I just, you know, I get a feeling that some sharp money out there is kind of lurking, hoping to get Houston at three, like -110 instead of the -115 or -120 that they are right now. So count, like I said, slightly favoring Tennessee. The total is where I do have sharp money in this game, Adam, that over 48 is where that came. Sitting at 51 right now. And the count on the total, actually not too bad. I kind of expected to have more of a count favoring the over, but it's pretty balanced. I'm not in that, you know, a bad spot there. But Houston, of course, last week you saw, Denver looked like an offensive juggernaut, putting up 38 against Houston as they beat Houston. Houston, their defense just hasn't looked very good. I mean, ever since J.J. Watt went on the IR, they're just not getting any quarterback pressure. Both these teams, I think, are vulnerable defensively in terms of the secondaries and stuff like that. And you're looking at Tennessee. I mean, they've won. I think they've won four straight games. They beat, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Colts, a couple of decent teams there, beat Oakland last week. So, they've, ever since Tannehill took over at the quarterback position, they've been, seem like a much improved offense. And I think they get a good opportunity here. I think both these teams obviously are going to score. And I don't like our position in terms of the fact that we're going to need the under, it looks like. It's only slight right now. Like I said, my wager count is pretty much even, but obviously I took a bigger dollar value bet on the over from the sharp money that came in.
All right, so we jump well down the board here, and we take a look at game 325-326, Cleveland and Arizona, with the Browns making the long trip out to the desert here. And wasn't a real good look for the Browns last week. They did beat the Bengals, did cover what wound up being the closing number. Baker Mayfield didn't look all that good with that hand injury. Seems like the betting market little bit less worried about that this week.
Yeah, I mean, I got sharp money in the over this game. And again, I guess it's, part of it has to do with Arizona and their defense. The other part is, Cleveland as well. I mean, the Arizona offense as well, they still kind of have that feeling that they can put up a whole lot of points. I mean, you're talking about a team who's only won three games so far this season, so I'm not going to kind of sugarcoat it, but they're just giving it, defensively Arizona's giving up a ton of points. Cleveland, I think they've won like four of their past five now, with the one loss being to Pittsburgh. So they beat some decent teams as well, like, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. So it's funny, like, you're talking about the playoff picture and stuff like that, and at 6-7, I mean, Cleveland, I think they could probably win out and still make the playoffs, which is just kind of like, ugh, it just shouldn't be that way. But I get a feeling this game's, this play on the over 46.5 where the sharps came in, we're sitting at 49 right now, so it's moved 2.5 points up there. And I just get a feeling it's more of a, position against the Cardinals defense, and maybe just, kind of expectation that they're just going to be out there slinging it.
Yeah, it's certainly what it looks like here for Cleveland, and I guess we'll kind of wait and see, because, last week, Pittsburgh, Arizona, fairly lower scoring game, but obviously this total a little bit higher, and of course Cleveland with a lot of weapons there on offense, and no pass rush, and that's the biggest thing that's been a problem for Arizona this year, protecting Kyler Murray, who's been sacked well over 40 times. Browns not having Myles Garrett, probably factoring a little bit into that handicap as well. Finally, one more game on the NFL side here. It is game 327-328. Atlanta and San Francisco, one of my favorite plays of the week. But of course, what separates me from most sharp bettors out there is that the sharp bettors got a much better number than I did.
Yeah, I got sharp money on the Falcons +12 here. We're sitting at 10.5 right now. There's a couple 11s or like I don't know, the 11 dog 15 out there I see, but I'm 10.5 flat on this one, down from the +12 where the sharp money came in. Atlanta, they've done decent their past five games. I think they've won three of their past five games after they started just horribly this season. I have a wager count, which suggests the kind of public is buying into them as well. 2-1 favoring Atlanta. The count favors the over as well, which has been kind of a trend this season with Atlanta games in the over. So I got a wager count 2-1 on the over, 2-1 on the side with Atlanta. We're at 10.5 right now, as I mentioned, sharp money in the +12. In San Francisco, they've played back-to-back, probably the two best games of the entire season. They losing at Baltimore 20-17. Then last week they won at New Orleans 48-46 in just a crazy, crazy game. They've been on a real tough run. I think they beat Green Bay before that run started. So, these are professionals here, and you want to talk about letdown spots and stuff like that, but it's kind of, you can't be naive enough to think that it just doesn't happen. And this could be one of those spots where, the Niners are good enough enough to get the win, but just maybe not good enough, or maybe just not high enough emotionally to get, you know, to cover the, you know, the high spread of 12 points where the sharp money came in. I think next week Atlanta is versus the Rams and the Seahawks. So I think the next two games are the Rams and the Seahawks. You kind of, you know, you come off a game at Baltimore, you come off beating New Orleans two games on the road, you're at home here to Atlanta, and then you play the Rams and the Seahawks next. Just kind of like, if there was ever a sandwich spot, this looks like it could be it.
Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, giving us some insights here into the sharp money out there in college football and the NFL for this weekend and, of course, for out into the future with those bowl games. Brent, we always appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Looking forward to bowling with you, Adam.
All right. There you go. That closes out this week on Bang the Book Radio. Once again, that's Brent from DSI Sportsbook with the odds report. Good stuff there, as always, from him. Always interesting to see where the sharp money is coming in the NFL, and also college. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, we'll be joined once again by professional handicapper Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com and also his new venture, bettersportspicks.com. We'll chat with him about the college football first look with the bowl games for the first round here coming up on Friday, Saturday, and on into Monday. And we'll also take a look at our Handicapping the Hardwood segment, discussing some college basketball action for Monday and throughout the week on the hardwood. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again on Monday.